Hi there. Welcome to Inner Truth Healing. I'm your host, Sarah Jacari, a naturopathic doctor, acupuncturist, and intuitive. As I record these episodes, I imagine you, my listeners, sitting beside me for a deep fireside chat. If you're here, I'm assuming that you're on a healing journey, and maybe you've already found your flow and balance between healing and actually enjoying your life, or maybe that's exactly what you're hoping to get to. Either way, you can experience monthly intuitive guidance on the first of every month, behind the scenes of my own healing journey, and chats with others about theirs. We all have a unique perspective and wisdom to share. My perspective is that this healing journey is our entire lives. With each new season, we'll enter into a new healing cycle, and it will bring us more into who we truly are. We can't change things that have happened to us, but we can change the way that we relate to how it's affecting our present day life. I'm attuned to a whole body health approach to this work, which I now call Inner Truth Healing. If you'd like a peek into that perspective, check out the link in the show notes. This podcast is sponsored by Mindful Kala, an affordable virtual retreat platform that houses over 65 wellness experts teaching a range of classes. The main retreat topics are anxiety and stress relief, mindfulness, self-love, longevity, and women's health. I love that it gives you access to teachings from so many different people so that you can find the ones that you resonate the most with. They even have created some Inner Truth Healing podcast merch, so you know where to look for that as well. Without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Hey friends, welcome to a new series on the podcast called Tales from the Healing Journey. This is something that I got a download for to do last fall, in fall of 2023, and so it's just so awesome that I'm seeing it come to life now. So I'm just going to give you a little introduction of why I think this series is so important and why I felt so called to do this work. And then also a little behind the scenes of my own journey of, in particular, the evolution of me doing this podcast. So I got a download of How to Awaken and Reach Enlightenment. And I want to just make a brief little side note here. I see this like awakening and reaching enlightenment as more of a consciousness evolution rather than a, you know, escaping our humanness and no longer feeling emotion. That doesn't resonate with me. So the way that I see this awakening is actually just your conscious awareness and your ability to consciously create a life from your own intentions. Like that's what I see as like the awakening process. And that's exactly what I teach with Inner Truth Healing, right? So you guys know. But anyway, so this is the download that I got. It came in the form of an image where a person had an aura around them that was like programmed with these unique set of like locks and keys. And so each person has like some parts that are lit up where the key was actually like in the lock. And then the other parts were dark, where there was not a key yet. And so the understanding that I took away from this image is that each person has a unique makeup of lit up parts and dark parts. And it's all intermixed too. So each person is going to have like different locks and different keys that they need in order to kind of light up their whole aura. And so what I see as this like awakening phase, that doesn't sound right. It's like the way that I see this awakening journey is it's like we're on this quest to find the keys to put into the locks so that more of our aura is lit up. And these like dark parts of the aura is what I see as just like our woundedness. Like we just haven't healed the wound yet. We haven't found the key to heal that wound in that key and lock mechanism to like light up the aura. And that's evidence in people who are like lashing out at other people. Maybe there's like addictive behavior going on, or maybe it's isolating and not responding to the world and just like sleeping away, being in a deep depression. Like all of those behaviors just indicates that there's probably more dark in that person's aura than there is light. And I think it's not about, I don't think that we need to like light up our entire aura in order to live like, you know, a great life. Like, I think that we will always have wounds that are there that we don't even know are there, and that they're not destined to be healed. Maybe even in this lifetime, they're not destined to be healed, but they're not destined to be like lit up and healed until further along in our life. But that doesn't mean that you can't, you know, enjoy your life as it is right now. And so I think it's more about thresholds and like a ratio. So the lit up parts, it's like if you can have maybe just like, to keep it simple here, maybe you could have like 51 lit up parts and 50 dark parts, and you're feeling, you've crossed that threshold of now you have better conscious control over your lived experience. So why is this relevant here? I think that the keys that we can get to light up different parts of our aura and our consciousness can come through in hearing other people's stories. So I think sometimes we hear that someone has gone through something similar. It wasn't exactly the same, but the way that they felt and the way that they responded and all of that, that was the same. Like the emotion was the same, because as humans, we feel like the same emotions, right? Like it's going to be a little bit different for each person, but we all feel things in our own unique way. But it also plays into this human theme from a collective consciousness aspect too, right? So when we can hear people's stories that are similar to ours and know that we're not alone in what we're feeling, that is so, so powerful. And to add another layer on top of it, it's like if we're in a hard situation and we hear someone else has a similar hard situation, but then we hear how they overcame that situation and the different things that worked for them, it gives us hope in that, you know what, there's actually something, I haven't tried those things. I could try those things and see if that works for me. Like that is the power in telling your story and telling the dark sides of how you felt and what was going on, but then combining it with, you know what, these were the things that helped me, and I'm still not perfect. I still deal with issues and like emotions because I'm human and that's gonna happen the rest of my life. But these helped me and it helped move the needle in my quality of life, which is what we're after, right? With wanting to consciously create our own lived life experience, we just want to enhance the quality of our life and feel like we have a little bit more control over our life, even though there's always going to be things that are not within our control. But then that's where, you know, co-creation with a universal source, whether you call it God, source energy, the universe, whatever you want to call it, in co-creating your life with a higher being, that can allow you to drop into surrender, trusting that, you know, what you're going through is meant to help you in some way light up more parts of your aura so that you can gain better conscious control over your lived life experience. So this is why this series is so important to me and why I'm so passionate about hearing people's stories and helping them share their stories. Like, I just really felt called to give people a platform, because since I have this platform, give people a way to help others, you know? And I think at one point or another, we've all probably felt this. And I think this actually comes up in a couple of the episodes too, is it's like, as we go through hard shit, we always think like, okay, there has to be a reason in this. There has to be a reason why I'm going through this. Maybe one day I'll be able to help people who are also in this situation. And then it makes it feel like it's not for nothing. You know, like if these people know that by sharing their story, they are helping someone else on their journey, and it's like they get to be the person that they wish they had back then, like that is such a gift to give someone who's been through some really hard shit, right? Like it's such an honor being able to know that, you know what, my perspective and my experience of these things that happened to me, like it can actually have an impact on someone else's life. And what it truly is doing is like giving someone a key to their aura And then they're able to heal and shift a perspective. Because I also think, you know, I kind of sidetrack a little bit. My brain's a little neurospicy. But I do think that the keys that we get that like light up in that imagery that I was talking about, those are perspective shifts. Like, I think that that's ultimately what that key is. The key is a perspective that you can embody. And the problem I think a lot of people have is that they learn a lot of things. So they may have the knowledge, but it's not embodied until there's a certain resonance that happens. And then it can become an embodiment knowing, which then is the key. Is that's when the key actually comes into the lock, is that there's an embodiment of it. And sometimes that includes needing to emotionally connect with that perspective. And I would actually argue most of the time that's what's required in order to take knowledge and turn it into wisdom, is that there has to be like an emotional something that happens there. So you can expect to hear multiple stories over the next few months on Thursdays for the release of season one of the series, Tales from the Healing Journey. And if you would like to share your story, I'd love to connect with you. I do hope to have a season two. If you are interested, go ahead and check the show notes. There's a little form that you can fill out, or you can just email me. We can see if it's a good fit. As I've been revamping this podcast, it's had me reflecting on all the different variations that I've had throughout the years. And if you're an OG of mine, you've been with me through it all, you have seen me try multiple different things and then pivoting. And it's actually like pretty scary. And I think the biggest reason why I pulled back from social media is that I was sick of people actively watching me figure it out. And it just, it became really scary. Like, I knew that I was taking on action on all these things and I was proud of myself for that, but it's like I would start walking down a path and I'd be like, no, like, this isn't it. I know that there's something else. But it just made me feel like embarrassed doing it kind of in the spotlight of everyone. And I would end up spending way too much time and energy having random conversations in my brain about people who were seeing my content and like arguing with me about my content, which like never happened and probably never would happen. But that was something that I couldn't control that. I couldn't control the way that I was like hyper aware of all the judgments that I was probably getting at the time. And I know the thing is too, like, you can see when people share your posts and stuff, and like, I know that people were talking shit about me and probably you know, like making fun of me and all these things, and like that was so hard for me to deal with. And so I knew that if I was going to continue doing this work, I had to just pull back and kind of do it more in private and behind the scenes so that I could keep going, because I knew that there was like a burnout point about to happen. So long story short, I basically pulled back, kept doing work, kept figuring these things out, and Inner Truth Healing was born. Like, I think at one point I even was doing like quantum healing and like all this stuff, which it is, like, Inner Truth Healing still is quantum healing, but it's talked about in a much more practical way, which I just kind of came to realize, like, I have three planets in Virgo, and not only just three planets, like, they're all my personal planets. My Mars, Venus, and Mercury are all in Virgo, which is very practical and grounded and needs systems and needs things to like be organized. And that's exactly what I needed to do with this perspective that I was creating, but I didn't really know where I was going the whole time. I just kind of knew, okay, I have to, like, there's something for me to figure out and create, and I have to figure that out, like, what that is. And so Inner Truth Healing was born, and that is exactly what I'm, you know, focused on right now, and that's what I'm teaching. And it's a really big project that's going to take some time to build out, but the very first rendition of all of this and like the core foundational aspects are available right now, and they are working, and they are part of a larger system. And so that feels really, really exciting to me because I don't know how long it would have taken me to get here had I, you know, kept kind of quote unquote hemorrhaging energy when I was just so focused on like what other people were thinking because I was constantly like launching myself out into the spotlight. And that pivot really, really helped me really truly develop like inner truth healing for what it is right now. So that's kind of the big picture transformation. But now let's go a little bit deeper into deeper layers. So when I first started this podcast, it was definitely out of a wound. I feel like I've always been someone who needed to like be somebody and to like prove myself. That comes from childhood wounding for sure, of like needing to be the person that I was always kind of held the standards to. Like I had very high standards as a kid and I felt like they were very unattainable, and they were completely unattainable. And yet I just kept striving and I kept striving, and I needed to hit it and I needed to stay there. And when I graduated ND school, it was like I was on a race towards being somebody, like a straight up hill up or straight up sprint up a hill. And I remember literally feeling like I was tripping over my own feet. Like energetically, I was just like, all my energy was just so focused on the future and like needing to be somebody. And I guess another piece of this is that when I, like right before I had graduated, when I was an intern, I was kind of like the go-to person for the more deeper energetic realm of healing. And I would get people they were doing all the things right with all the different interns, with like the supplement regimens, like everything that they were doing was so good on paper and they should be healing. But then they would come to see me and it was like, because they weren't healing, right? Like they weren't healing. So then they'd get transferred to see me and I would be the one to help them and make the mind-body connection, because that's how my intuition is wired. It's like I can see what people need to deal with on a very practical level in order to move through whatever uncomfortable experience they're having in their life. So it's like I had kind of peaked in a way of like, I was that person. I was someone that was like respected and looked up to. And like, it just made me feel like a badass when I was that person. And it felt so good to be seen and to be recognized. And especially, you know, I'm a projector in human design. So to be seen and recognized is something that I need. It's a need for me. Which I guess I'd argue it's a need for everyone. We all need to be seen and recognized on some level, right? So basically, put this together where like I was that person in school and then I go out on my own and I have no idea what I'm doing, because at the time, Inner Truth Healing was not born. And instead, I was like going down all these paths that were dead ends that my intuition freaking told me to go down, which I thought that my intuition would tell me the right way in order for me to manifest what I'm calling in. So I was very confused a lot. I slipped into like addiction again, of just not eating, of being obsessed with work, of literally being in like a depression if I wasn't able to take the action that I was trying to get myself to do. And I just felt very like heavy, and I wasn't making progress, or so I thought. Like I didn't feel like I was making any progress in those spaces. And what ended up happening is I had to go through and do some very, very deep emotional healing around like just what was holding me back. What was holding me back from really truly putting myself out there in a way where I could be seen and not have to spend so much time and energy in my mind about what people think about me and how people are arguing with me and how I need to like stand up for myself and defend myself. Like I needed to go through so many different healing cycles, even throughout years, 5 years, probably 5-6 years of doing that work before I now feel good and feel safe and feel like I've actually become the person that's able to validate and see myself rather than like desperately needing it to come from other people. And I 100% relate that to the inner child healing because of those high expectations that I had as a child. It's like I had to truly come to terms with how unattainable so much of it truly was and how much like what I was currently expecting of myself, like those expectations were so skewed. And I had to work on reorienting myself and rebalancing that like barometer of what is an acceptable expectation for myself versus what's just completely unattainable. So I essentially came to the realization that I am not somebody who wants to be this like huge, big motivational speaker that like talks to like, you know, a group of like 20,000 people from a stage. Like that's not me. Like I had to really, through all that healing, I came back to what do I enjoy and like what feels really good for me. Because I think at the time when I first started the podcast, it was like, well, I have to be that person that gets up on stage and does these things. And because she is the one that's like valued more or something. I don't know. But that was so far out of my comfort zone. And I, at the time, was like, okay, yeah, that's out of my comfort zone, which means that I need to go there. But that's not how I look at it now. After all this healing that I've done, what I now see is that like I am more of a small groups, one-on-one kind of person, and that is perfectly okay. And I can have that and also still influence people and inspire people and help them create a life that they want to live. Because at the end of the day, that's what I want to do. I want to teach people to let go of their past and like push on to create the future that they want to create for themselves. Because I truly think every single person has the ability to create the life that they dream about living. And it might not necessarily look the way that you want it to look, but you can make your life feel the way that you want it to feel. And I think when you focus on the feeling aspect, you start to realize that what you want for your life probably doesn't actually even look the way that you're, you know, like trying to envision it and create now, which that, you know, that's exactly the process that I went through. So if I were to go to the feeling that I really wanted to feel in my life, you know, back then when I was setting out starting this podcast, it's that I just wanted to feel like I had like made it, like I had created something that was brilliant and I was being seen for it and being respected for it. And I see and respect myself for everything that I've done. And that's exactly how I feel right now. It's like everything that I've built with Inner Truth Healing, like it was literally the most intense and heartbreaking and inspiring and awe-producing experience of my life. Like creating this system has been such a journey, and it's something that it literally felt like I was birthing a baby as I was creating it, for one. But for two, it like perfectly encapsulates everything that I have been working on since before I graduated, since like 2016, like everything that I've been working on has come together in this one thing. And I had to just completely surrender to the process. And that entire experience of surrendering to the process was all of the things. And it really forced me to drop into the present and just focus on how I had already been making it. Like I was already in the experience that I was like trying to manifest and call in. It's like I was already there once these concepts came together and I was creating the system. Like I was already there. I was already at that point where I wanted to feel like an accomplishment, right? Like I was there, I was doing it. And it took a long time for me to really drop into that flow of like, I'm here. I'm where I've been racing to get to. Like I am here right now. And I think a lot of it came, I think, because of some mantras and like practices that I had for myself. And so I guess I'll share that with you right now is the first one, the one that's helped the most is you are exactly where you're meant to be in order to learn the lessons that you are meant to learn. That became so freaking true for me. And I truly believe that about any situation that I'm in, even if it's like the most shit situation, telling myself that is like, yeah, I know that to be true. I feel that to be true. And another one is like, whatever is meant for you will not pass you by. Like you get to choose what you want to experience. So what do you want to experience? And those two main things are what I just held on to throughout those years. And I think it's also part of what helped me drop into that flow. But then like the third biggest piece is that I just got super, super clear about what I wanted to feel in my day-to-day life and what things that I had available to me in my present day could make me feel that way. And having that practice and like consciously tuning in, tapping in, and giving myself the experience that I wanted, it made me see that I'm already living that life that I'm attempting to call in, because it's all about the feeling of what you experience on a day-to-day basis, and you get to curate that. I also realized that so much of consciously creating a life that you want to be living has to do with you developing certain skills and like a new skill set so that you're able to like take action and put this, everything that you're learning, to put it into action, which is exactly how the three core skills to stabilize on your journey was born. Like that's a free PDF freebie that I've got. The link for that's in the show notes. And that's something that I have created, and it's stuck with me for years, those three skills. And I think that like truly just focusing on those skills is what will also help you create a stable foundation for yourself where you feel like, okay, I'm doing all this healing work and I feel really confident that it's going to stick. Because that's another thing I dealt with is I was like doing all these different like healing sessions and stuff. And it just felt like maybe I would take like 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. And it just always felt like I was on this like really shaky foundation. And I remember even in my journal entries, like there were so many times where it was like, if you can just get a stable foundation for yourself, you will be able to like skyrocket. And I would get this imagery of literally like a stable foundation with a skyscraper, because at the time I was living like downtown Chicago. And learning about consistency, which is one of the core skills, it's actually the first skill that I recommend people learn, is like that all had to do with me learning to reset my expectations for myself and realizing that that's actually the number one reason why I was living from such a shaky foundation is because I was not being realistic with what I expected of myself. And in that, I was creating all of this like broken self-trust because I was telling myself that I was gonna do these things that I wasn't actually taking action on. And so like energetically, I was just a mess when I was in this phase. So just learning how to do those three skills. So number one is creating consistency. Number two is becoming the ability to be able to self-soothe, which is my adult tea practice that all my OGs know about. And it's also in the guide. And then number three is becoming the observer of your mind and questioning the stories that it tells. And that is something that I've talked about before on this podcast. But it's something that, you know, our story and what we think about the environment that we are experiencing is directly creating our internal experience of that environment. And if we can change the story, we can change the experience. And every single person, every human can learn these skills. And they are the skills that took me through this entire healing that I've done throughout this entire time of the podcast. And now I can safely say that I feel like I just want to share these teachings. I want to share the imagery and the downloads that I get about how consciousness works and how we can change our consciousness and how it relates to our lived life experience. And I just want to do that. And I want to practice acupuncture and energy healing on people. Like, that is what I want to do. And I feel like I've been like racing up this mountain and I'm at the top and I've put my flag down, you know, and here I am. And it doesn't, like, I haven't needed an external validation of things, even though when people have seen Inner Truth Healing and they see me and they see the perspective that I've created and the power that it holds, that gives me so much energy. It totally does energize me. But that doesn't mean that I need it in order for me to feel like I have accomplished something and I have made it and I am where I've always wanted to be. And this is a place, this feeling of like, it's like contentment mixed with gratitude, mixed with awe of myself. And it all happened because of me wanting to be somebody. It all came from a wound. But I think it's like the greatest gift of the wound is that I did create something. And I did go through the inner transformation of, from one, needing that external validation in order for me to feel like I've made it and that I'm accomplished, to now, you know, the internal feeling of like, I am, I'm there. This is amazing. This is so awesome. And I can't believe that I was the one to go on this journey and that I created this. Like, this is wild. Like, we are approaching 150 episodes on this podcast. Like, that is wild to me. And I am so happy and grateful for myself that I kept going with the podcast. The podcast is the only thing that has been consistent since starting my business. Like, all other things, I have so many unfinished projects and so many downloads, so many things that I could go back to. And I'm just so happy that the podcast is something that has stayed tried and true and something that I, you know, can say that I've been consistent here. And I am proud of myself for that consistency because it's built this momentum for me to now like stand on. So all in all, I really hope that you enjoyed a little behind the scenes of my own journey with the podcast, and also that you enjoyed the imagery of the key and the locks in the auras, and that, you know, each teaching and perspective and story that you hear can help give you keys to your own aura, and in that you can gain even more conscious control over your lived life experience. So I hope that you enjoy this episode. If you know of a friend that could benefit from hearing this, I would really appreciate if you sent it over to them. And also if you gave me a rating and review of the podcast, I would really appreciate that. All right, you will get your first interview on Tales for the Healing Journey next Thursday, May 2nd, 2024, and I am so excited to launch this episode to you guys. All right, I'm sending you